first scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, starting at verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and cried out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Now we turn to some words from Paul's letter to Timothy, Paul's second letter, chapter 2, starting at verse. Paul writes this: "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. We disown him, he'll also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarrelling about words. It's no value, only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth." Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jeff. And thank you all for your warm welcome as I have returned to the circuit. And it's been good to be here. And various bits of feedback is news from me, from gathering news from me as your circuit superintendent. I'm very affirmed and grateful for the invitation that happened back when I was in the midst of being quite poorly. And I'm here till at least 2029, which is more than the football season. On my mind this morning, when I'm going to preach to you now, I'm just going to put my eye on my clock, because we do have to share, and not have to, it's a blessing to share Holy Communion again, about where you've been and where I've been since we last met. And I've been around the world and back again. I mean, South Africa is another complete presentation in itself. And yes, my heart has been stolen by two penguins called Scruffy and Kimbo. I have the scar to show where I fed Scruffy. But as I've preached this morning, I deliberately follow the lectionary, because it is a discipline for preachers to stick to that passage. And as you've had preachers come in and come out, guest artists in Tim's wonderful sabbatical, they will have brought a word to you that is on their hearts for you. And I do like the way that you flipped it, Jenny, that you put Timothy after the gospel, because that actually worked this morning. It doesn't always. But we had Paul saying again, being in chains and wanting you to hear the message. So despite what might be pulling your mind back, or what you've got to do in about an hour's time, or even tomorrow, or even later in the week, I just ask you and encourage you now to listen to God's word. And listen to that God's word that he will have for each of you by name. Because I've been very overt, and hopefully you know this, that I am very encouraged by Well Street as a community, as the beating heart of contemporary worship in our circuit. And I am forever seeking venues for you and places to come. And every time I come, I say, please, please, let's find a way to worship midweek. I know you have your life groups, but at least once a month, that contemporary style of well worship, well-led with music, and then prophetic preaching. But let us pray first. Almighty and faithful God, we have come to you this morning, remembering Jesus Christ raised from the dead, a descendant of David, according to the gospel. As we gather to listen now, we fix our eyes and hearts upon you, who conquered death and reigns forever at your right hand. We thank you that your word is not chained, though we may face trials and difficulties in this life. Like the Apostle Paul, we acknowledge that following you may bring challenges. But we trust that if we have died with Christ, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign. And your promises are trustworthy and true. So, Lord, as we look forward to sharing bread and wine, may you be with us now as we reflect. So I do go back to Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. A very short, powerful passage along the boundary between Galilee and Samaria. If you've been to the Holy Land, you know where that is. And as we continue to pray for Israel and Gaza and the lasting peace that has started this weekend, we can picture the 10 lepers along that journey. And as we work through this story this morning, I want you to think about where Jesus is in terms of his journey of faith, walking and talking with his disciples. And if you had the lectionary last week, what was their question? Increase our faith. Faith that could be as small as a mustard seed. This group of 10 lepers were reflecting the cry of desperate need. They were pleading for their individual needs. And they represented the position of the outcasts. And they represented the power of united prayer. And that's why I sort of go off piste already. Because there is nothing like a community praying in one mind for one purpose at the same time. And if you remember nothing about this morning, I implore you to pray for the circuit leadership team, the circuit invitation committee, as the profiles will arrive this week. And we start the process of discernment for your ordained leadership moving forward. The power of united prayer is represented by these 10 lepers, but only one turned back. And if you ever go on any Christian coaching courses, that's given as a benchmark. Perhaps you only need 1/10. That's not really a good results marker, is it? The power of united prayer is palpable. I have felt it while I've been very poorly, and it's got me back on my feet. Pray for those who are not here this morning. Pick up the phone to your young people and say, we missed you. It's not chasing them up. It's that act of kindness and love. We missed you. Are you okay? From a posture of humility. So if these lepers represented the pleading and the position and the power of united prayer, They were also aware that Jesus would give them the provision and the response of divine grace. But what did they have to do? Jesus was clear. Go to the holy place, go to the temple, go and see the priests. But even on that journey, they didn't have to get to the destination. They were healed on the way. And that's what's powerful about the story. Perhaps it reminds me of setting people off on a Duke of Edinburgh's walk. They've got about a mile and they're going in the wrong direction already. So you go and find them and turn them round. But one of them turned round and recognised the power of obedience. And the character and identity of the one who turned round was a Samaritan. The one who was doubly marginalised, both by his illness and his ethnic background, he alone returns, falls at Jesus' feet, and gives thanks. Jesus, of course, notices. He's never short of direct language. Were not 10 men made clean, but the other 9, where are they? He commends the Samaritan's faith, saying, "Your faith has made you well," or in some translations, "Your faith has saved you." Now, the words this morning are not linked directly between faith and healing, because that is another very deep topic in itself. This is about us pleading because we are in a place of scarcity and knowing that we will receive the pattern and the power of divine healing, reflecting the paradox of grace. Grace is love that we receive without anything we do. Those of you with animals perhaps can reflect on the unconditional love as long as they're fed and let out in the morning. So having met and received, how did the Samaritan respond? He responded with praise, with worship, with the priority of gratitude, reflecting the profile of the grateful and again the paradox of faith. He moved from a position of pleading up to a position of provision. The Samaritan's response is not simply good manners, it is an act of worship, a recognition that something holy has happened, and he sees the gift he has received and returns to give thanks, drawing closer to Jesus the giver. So what does all that mean? It's a very familiar story. You've probably had it hundreds of times in Sunday school. It's a favourite Bible quiz as well. So what are the lessons for our discipleship? And as we are asked to do, I'll share these for your life groups this week. Grace is at work in our lives, often in the most unexpected places and among the most unlikely of people. Healing is not just about what is fixed, it is about being reconnected. And being reconnected to God, to ourselves, to our communities, and to our worshipping community. And that's why your Sunday gatherings are so important, as are your life groups in the week. That accountability of meeting together for prayer, for Bible study, for worship, and for learning together. We are invited to be like the Samaritan, people who turn back, who live with the awareness and gratitude, and who do not rush past moments of grace. Too often, we receive blessings and move on quickly, forgetting to pause, to notice, and to express our thanks. I am forever grateful and thankful for being called to the 3B circuit in 2021. Completely out of the blue, in the midst of lockdown, it was not something that I was particularly looking for, but I knew I had to return to full-time ministry, having had a part-time ministry in the Pool Bay circuit and then working with children and additional needs behaviour across lockdown. That sense of gratitude and of grace and of knowing that God had much more ahead brought me to you. The process of reinvitation has been quite difficult and brutal, and I'm very grateful for those of you who have given feedback, because I have listened to that, as we all do as a staff team. The affirmation that has come through the Get Well cards and the messages after the circuit meeting. We are only human. We need each other as disciples to build each other up and to find our path as disciples of Christ in this world. So, questions that I'm going to ask you to reflect on this week. Where have you experienced healing in your own life, whether gradual, unexpected, or quietly unfolding? Have you allowed yourself time to name that healing, to give thanks for it, to let it shape your journey forward? And who in your community and in my community across the circuit is crying out for mercy? Who needs you to be the face of compassion, of inclusion, and of welcome? The biggest impact on Brackley, and I've said this many times before, is having a place of hospitality and welcome open whenever it is. This year it's Thursdays and Saturdays, the Jab Centre. It is a place of hospitality, of meeting you at the door, of welcome, of reassurance, and yes, being there when the queue gets too much with teas and coffees and biscuits. That is what God calls us to be. To live with grateful hearts, to recognise where compassion, inclusion and welcome are necessary. Discipleship means keeping our eyes and hearts open. Those 10 lepers knew exactly what Jesus represented, but only one recognised and returned in a state of worship. May we become people who recognise healing, who honour grace, and who let our thankfulness shine forth in generosity, humility, and joy. It is the power of love that will transform our communities. We do stand in the midst of conflict, of disagreement, of discord. And it is when we stand as the faces and the power of God's love that we can bring healing. By bearing God's light into the world around us, we answer our calling to be lights for Christ. And literally, as we journey towards the end of October, and I won't even name it as I haven't before, the darkness that is all around that date, I challenge you to challenge others who continue to celebrate a very dark night. But the practical implications of both Paul writing to his mentor and mentee, Timothy, the progression of our discipleship, the problems that we encounter in our life's discipleship journey, and then receiving the power of grateful living. This narrative challenges us to examine our own response to God's grace. Have we, like the nine, receive God's blessings but fail to return in grateful worship? Or do we, like the Samaritan leper, recognise that every good gift comes from above and respond with heartfelt praise? Again, it's harvest season, a time of thankfulness and of saying thank you for everything that we are provided with. But perhaps here is the closing thought. True discipleship is marked not just by what we receive from God, but how we respond to his goodness with lives of grateful worship and devoted service. You will all know how hard a walk of faith is. A Christian discipleship journey is not just a saunter around the park, but it gives you that backbone and that resilience and that assurance of grace that you can be the face of God. You are the face of God. You are the light in the darkness. And as we receive bread and wine, we are literally given food for our journey. I'm going to ask the elders to stand up. Okay, I know Margaret's here, for which I'm very grateful. The pastoral team, if they're here. The life group leaders. These are people who I don't know, I do know you all by name, but who I, as a collective, pray for daily as part of Well Street's community. Because they are carrying your community while Tim and Wendy are absent. And they require, and I'm sure you pray for them as well, but I'd like to pray for them now because I am very grateful for their leadership and as they will become even more important as we follow the journey of discipleship. So let's pray for them. Loving Lord, we thank you that you give us the pattern of gratitude, and not just gratitude returning to worship, but gratitude returning in the form of a discipleship shaped by service. And we ask you to bless now the elders, the life group leaders, and the pastoral team. And others who are here who have a part to play in the leadership and the discernment of Well Street community. May we know your strengthening grace. May we know your power to heal. And may we know that we are not alone, because your Spirit gives us the strength and the courage and each other. Amen. And we are returning before communion to Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to us.